please.
Oh, my. I'm all of a tremble.
Open.
If you insist. How's this? Not too big, not too small?
Perfect. Now, close your eyes.
But that's half the fun.
To heighten one sense, you must terminate the other.
I'm at your mercy.
Are you ready, Jean Brash?
As I'll ever be.
It is my mission to give pleasure.
Pleasure away. Oh, I've never been so assailed.
There is more to come.
Oh, my.
Thrice-induced chocolate cake. Almost returned to the essence of the pod. The ne plus ultra of perfection. The cacao beans are from the valleys of Caracas and the province of Soconusco.
Oh, is that not Spanish?
In origin. But the execution, like all great cuisine, is French. I risk my life to bring you this.
How so?
That stupid fat woman who employs my service, she wanted it all for herself. I have to wrench it out of her.
I had no idea the giving of pleasure involved such extremities.
I may leave her for dead and return to the other.
The judge's wife. You betrayed her.
She will accept me back with open arms.
Be careful, Pierre-Henri. Women are deadly.
Not for me. I am beyond them. Except for you, Jean Brash.
Oh, I'm a special case, right enough.
You are transcendent. One day I will create a confection to approach your beauty.
What it is to be young. Is there any of that cake left?
One more morsel.
Eyes shut, mouth open. I should know better. But I never do.
A sweet tooth is a fearsome proposition. Jean Brash, who keeps the best-stocked body house in Edinburgh and also makes the finest coffee, has often upbraided me for spoiling the delicate results of her labours with 4 spoons of sugar. No doubt the success will catch up with me some day, and my kidneys will discharge a morbid flux. But until then, I rest content with my bad habits. It is dead of night. The city is quiet. I know that somewhere out there in the darkness a crime has been, will be, or even at this very moment is being committed before your very eyes. James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, at your service. Satan in his many guises walks the streets, knocks at the door, is let into the house, and then a rush of blood. Cover your tracks, twist and turn, but I shall be there. And if it is you, dear sir or madam, who thinks to blame the devil and wash clean your hands, I am afraid I can have no mercy. You see, when he knocked, it was you who opened that door, and now it is me a-knocking.
Are you all right, sir?
I'm perfectly fine, Constable Mulholland, perfectly fine. Pardon me, my digestion is a trifle discomforted, that is all.
Ah, your gormandizing expedition, sir?
Indeed, 12 courses. Sorry, I was strongly in command during the wee bites, the hors d'oeuvres, as they are so called.
Right enough.
And in the entrees, one after another, I negotiated the crimp salmon a la raisons without mishap, but then came the Poulard a la Nelson.
Sunk the ship, did it, sir?
A fatty chicken stuffed with coxcombs and truffles, garlanded to resemble a galleon. I don't know how she manages.
How who?
Mrs. Roach. It is God's mystery how she shovels all that largesse away and never suffers consequence.
Unlike your good self, sir.
I may not look at Mulholland, but I have a sensitive disposition.
Lieutenant Roach, your servant, aye? You look terrible, sir.
Thank you, McCleavy. I can always rely on you. Even though I could have prevailed, but then came the desserts, the last of which quite did for me. Triple reduced chocolate cake.
A miniature by the sound?
It was gargantuan, and the more you ate, the more you wanted. It was almost Catholic.
God help us all.
And I have suffered mightily since.
Indigestion.
Greed. And where was this gastronomic jamboree, sir?
Jane Mingus, wife of the Surgeon Thomas, a good friend of mine. He was in Aberdeen. He had more sense. She has acquired a new chef, a Frenchman, Pierre-Henri. He honoured us with his presence, a young whippersnapper with a curly moustache. Ridiculous.
But he can rustle up a place.
He is a genius. She will be the toast of Edinburgh if she survives.
Survives what?
Gluttony. She is also gargantuan. She gorges herself upon his pièce montée.
Confections of spun sugar in the likeness of various edifices.
Yes, you have it, exactly.
Such as the Edinburgh Castle.
She could eat her way through that nightly.
Oh, God! Oh, help! Help! A terrible thing!
What in God's name? What does she want in the station? Mary, Mary, come over here!
Oh, Mr. Roger's terrible!
You know her, sir?
The maid from last night, clumsy beyond measure.
Oh, Mr. Roger, a terrible thing, a tragedy.
What are you talking about? Enough, pull yourself together, girl.
A tragedy. I found the mistress in her bedroom with a big knife sticking out here.
What kind of a knife?
She's dead. Dead as a doornail.
The maid was right.
Just so. As dead a body as I have ever witnessed.
The jewel box is empty, the drawers pulled open, ransacked. It would seem a burglary. She woke up, the fellow stuck her through.
That's how it would appear. I had the devil's own job getting that knife out, and her guts up to the hilt. Violent.
Should he not attend Dr. Jarvis?
Our esteemed police surgeon. He'd just break it off. Besides, nothing beats the first look at an instrument of murder. What do you think?
Sharp as sin, sir.
It is mine. Sorry, Inspector. He just banged past.
It's all right, Baxter. He's at least half your size. Who are you?
I'm Pierre-Henri Escaff. I am the chef of this place. That is my nafta cuisine.
What's it doing stuck in a body?
What body?
This body.
You obscured. I did not see her. Madame, is she dead?
Definitely.
How is the knife?
Unscathed. Where were you late last night?
At a rendezvous.
Where and with whom?
A lady. I cannot say more. A matter of honor.
You go and sit in the kitchen with Constable Baxter. I'll deal with your honor later.
And the knife?
Held as evidence.
But I use it for the finest cuts. It must be sharpened every day.
Enter that kitchen before I skewer you.
Come on, you.
I'm never sure about the French.
There's many share that view.
Here. I fished this out from the bosom of the corpse.
Fished?
What does it smell like to you?
It's been in her bosom, sir.
Just sniff, Mulholland.
At a rough guess, chocolate, a big crumb.
That's right. Squashed between the nightgown and her flesh. A big crumb.
They had a terrible rammy, hammer and tongs.
Is that so? Over what?
12 big slices. She had her eye on them, then they were missing.
Slices of what? Dumplings?
No, chocolate cake. I like market folk, sir. The chef said he was entitled. There was 1 piece still left out, and she could have it, stick it in her big fat gaby.
His exact words?
Well, to that effect. His face was all purple then out the door.
So he was gone and she was still alive, eh?
But he might have come back.
You don't like the chef, do you, Mary?
He throws things at me. Even we swine.
What about you?
Me? I'm nothing.
Later on, après dîner, tell me.
I cleared up. After the guests, Mrs. Roach was last to go. I took the hind leg of a donkey.
That would be Mr. Roach. And then?
I cleared up. Then the screaming match. The wee swine left. Mrs. Mingus went to the bedroom to sulk. I closed all the windows and doors, took my leave. Late, that's it.
Where did you go?
The family. 2 wee rooms in Chambers Close, the 10 years. I was confined all night.
Between your mother and sister?
That's it.
Is it really?
What else could there be?
Mulholland! Will you kindly not do that?
Sorry, sir. I saw you through the pane. I found this on the gravel, below the bedroom window back there. It caught the light.
You near gave me a heart attack. Let me see. A button. Silver.
Imitation.
I can see that. A waistcoat button, cheap and flashy. You recognize this, Mary?
Not so.
You haven't looked yet?
No, I don't.
You sure?
Waistcoats are not my style.
Somebody wore it. A murderer, possibly.
Nothing to do with me.
I wouldn't be too sure. Murder is a strange business, Mary. The blood drifts everywhere, and everything it touches is stained, deep. It will not wash, that blood stain.
Terrible, right enough.
The murderer came in through that bedroom window. It was left unlocked.
No, by me. The mistress must have done it after to get some air.
Unfortunately, I cannot ask her. The mouth is open, but she's no saying much.
Oh, I need to sit down.
Do so. Outside. And I haven't finished with you yet.
You're hard on the girl, sir.
I have my reasons. And if you follow instructions, you may find them out and their consequence. With a bit of luck. Yeah, I need luck.
I'll take my stick.
Sergeant Murdoch at the desk said he desired my presence, sir.
As always, McCleavy, as always. This gentleman is my friend, Tom Mingus. Mm-hmm. I met him off the Aberdeen early train at Waverley Station and brought him straight here.
I understand my wife is murdered.
That would appear the case. My condolences.
Accepted. Have you made progress?
Clues and alibis, sir. Clues and alibis.
Don't be obtuse, McCleavy.
The chef, a scarf. What was his standing to your wife?
Like a lapdog.
They quarreled last night.
Dogs bite.
He claims an alibi. At the probable time of death, he was nestled in the arms of an older woman. I hammered at him near an hour to get the name.
And?
It is a name, I know. I have no doubt the alibi will be confirmed, but he's not off the hook yet.
Anything further?
Mulholland is following another line of inquiry this very moment. I hope to bring the case in quickly.
I'm glad to hear it. So am I. Where is my wife now, Inspector?
On the cold slab next door.
McCleavy, have you no finer feelings?
It's all right, Robert. Dead bodies are my stock in trade, even those near to hand. I see them all as potential cadavers.
I see them as potential criminals.
Then we share a certain outlook. How did she die?
We must wait examination, but it would appear stabbed by a kitchen knife.
Then bring in the Frenchman.
Anyone can pick a knife. Besides, it would seem there was a burglary in progress.
A burglary?
Her jewellery is missing. That would constitute theft.
I know what it constitutes.
Examination, you said. How soon?
Not soon enough. Dr. Jarvis, the police surgeon, is indisposed, taken to his bed.
With what?
Food poisoning. Shellfish, I expect. He dotes on oysters.
Then may I offer my services? I am qualified enough.
You? But of course, Tom, you are one of the best surgeons in Edinburgh, but surely...
Will it further the inquiry?
Time is eye of the essence.
Then let us proceed.
I have witnessed many strange events in my life, but nothing to match the sight of an auxorial post-mortem. Inside the cold room, the body of Mrs. Mingus near overhung the slab, such was her volume and avoirdupois, as her husband got to work with an expertise that was nigh uncanny. Possibly a familiarity with the contours helped, but I have never seen a corpse so neatly flayed apart. Of course, there were the inevitable omissions, but I had a large hanky to hand, which I have always found invaluable on such occasions. Lieutenant Roach, however, had no such baffle. Possibly Mrs. Roach had forgotten to lay out his snow-white nose-blower that morning, or he considered himself too manly to hide behind paisley linen. But the deeper the cut, the more his skin became tinged with a pale yellow hue. Taking note of his delicate condition from earlier, I stood well to the side in case of unwarranted eruption. Garde loo. But as for the other, Thomas Mingus might have been carving a side of roast beef, such was his detachment. A face like a mask, and what feelings lay behind it was anyone's guess. His hands were neat and precise, like the rest of the man.
Well, the knife caused the murder, but not in the way you think, Inspector.
How so?
It was a butcher's job. Crashed through the ribcage and missed the heart entirely. But the shock sent the body into seizure and the vital organs closed down.
Murder after the act?
Accurate. I had warned Jane about her weight, the strain it was putting on her. Essential functions, she paid no heed.
A butcher's job, you see.
Indeed.
The violence surprises me. Hatred, anger. You wouldn't expect that from a nightwalker.
Fear. Fear has equal intensity. Rips in like a shark's teeth.
Are we near done?
Time of death?
Tissue rigidity would place it between midnight and 2 a.m.
Anything else?
Nothing from under the fingernails, save the usual household detritus.
What about the bruising?
Both upper arms, just above the elbow, could have been caused when she fell.
But she was in her bed.
I mean earlier, during the fracas with the cook. If he gripped her there, Jane bruised easily.
Oh, if there's nothing else.
Save the stomach contents.
Essential, I'm afraid.
This wee fella should do the trick. One cut. But where to begin?
You must excuse me. A matter of some urgency.
Lieutenant Roach's digestive system is a wee bit overburdened this day.
About to be lightened, I would surmise.
So, now we know exactly how the crime was committed. But we do not know the murderer.
That is your job, Inspector. Mine is a different revelation. One cut.
I warned you not to come here.
I left that window open, and now she's dead.
That's not me, Mary. That's not my style.
Did you stick her?
Of course I didn't. Come on now. Hey, look into my eyes, Mary. What do you see? Eh? Joseph Byng? Your sweetheart. Do anything for you, eh? What do you see?
Aye. Right enough.
In my eyes, there is nothing save love and honesty.
And you didn't...
No, I swear. You have to believe me. I did not touch the woman. You have to believe me.
I believe you, Joseph.
Good. Now, as soon as I get these jewels sold and the money in hand, we'll be on our way. To the promised land, Mary, the promised land. But till then, you must go back to the house and act normal.
Normal?
Just do what I say and it'll be just fine.
I hope so.
Believe me. My only concern is your well-being.
Are you sure?
My heart is yours. Now, off you go.
Joseph, a sight for sore eyes.
Oh, McLeavy, how did you get here?
You know Constable Mulholland.
Good day to you, sir.
Hello.
He followed my instructions and the little maid all the way to your domicile, sent word to the station, and here we all are. You tell him about the waistcoat button, Mary.
It slipped my mind.
Ah, so many he wouldn't notice. But as soon as I saw, I thought the very man. To match his hair, he wears that metal in abundance. A cheap imitation, of course. Like himself.
How do you mean?
Silver Joseph. Speciality, wee housemaids in a discontented frame. He persuades them he is the love of their life, gets them to leave a window open, robs the house, dumps the lassie, changes the dress, lies low, and then begins all over again.
Is this true?
Look into my eyes, Mary.
You dirty swine!
A long time coming, Joe. But now I have you. Not only theft, but murder as well. Lady Luck is bountiful.
I never did murder. And if you want this wee Drago, you can have her. Here!
Stop him, Constable. You have my blessing.
Accepted, sir.
That stick of Mulholland's a fearsome proposition.
I made it myself. Blackthorn.
You broke my ankle.
Not at all. A numbness only. In half an hour, you'll be as right as rain.
And in the cells.
You've hurt me bad. The pain.
More to come, Joseph. More to come.
What a bollocks you've got yourself in.
Tell him. I was with you all night.
But you weren't. When I woke in the early morning, you were vanished.
I searched out inspiration to raise me.
I could have done that.
My tribute to you, my confection. I cannot find it in my mind. I could not rest. I walked all the way to the seat of Arthur to watch the sun come up in glory.
All I know is I reached out and found thin air.
But you will tell him all night.
I can't believe it. You gave my name to McLeavy.
I had no option.
What about all this French honour?
There is worse to come.
Such as?
When the monsieur returned from the police station, he fired me just so, like a dog.
Too bad.
I am between engagements. I must stay here.
Not a chance.
Why not?
This is a body house. The just land. We work for a living.
I could feed the girls souffles.
You've done enough damage. Oh, I can just see the big stupid smile on him.
Who?
McLeavy.
What?
You. A babe in arms.
I am man enough.
Not in his eyes.
He thinks I am a murder suspect. I shall go to jail forever. You must help me.
Calm down, Pierre-Henri. You'll burn the backside out the pot. If a burglar did it, fine. But if not, who else would want to kill her? The husband?
He never talked to Madame. Anyway, he was in Aberdeen with gallstones.
Then who else? The judge's wife. Do you have the letter she sent that time ago?
In my very pocket.
Give it me.
It is confidential.
Don't be glake it. Give it me. Well, it's worth a try. Put on my best bonnet, beat him to the punch.
The punch?
You hit somebody before they hit you.
So there you are at your chosen profession.
The woman wakens, screams like hell.
Can't have that.
So you stick her where she lies.
All over.
That's not my style.
Styles change.
Maybe you didn't mean to kill. Panic.
Just lashed out. The knife.
That's it.
All over.
That's not true. Look. All right. I did the job. I'll admit.
Just as well, because we found the jewels in your room.
I'm a fifer. All right. Young girls are easy meat. But I don't do murder.
Tell us about it then.
It was a quick in and out. The woman was in the bed asleep, propped up on the pillow, snoring. She had a lump of cake in her hand.
What kind of cake?
I don't know. It was black.
Like chocolate could be.
Get on with it.
Well, Mary told me that once the mistress was asleep, you could drive a horse and cart through and she wouldn't wake. She was like a dead thing.
The very words.
So I did the job and I left her, snoring. I thought I heard a noise in the house, the front door, so I got out in a hurry.
When you lost your waistcoat button?
That damned object.
Price you pay for fashion, eh?
That is the whole story. So help me God.
Save for one little thing.
And what's that?
When you stuck her, Joe, was it from under? Over? Or just straight as it
is? I never touched her.
I'll leave you with Mulholland here, Joseph. He's a good listener. When you decide to tell the truth, he'll give me a shout. There's no hurry. Take your time. Am I suspicious of a quick confession?
Well, Inspector, how did you fare?
He holds yet to his story, but Joseph is a fastidious man. A night in the cells with a bunch of spewing foo vermin carriers might change his tune.
Do you think he is our man?
Hard to tell.
You're not convinced?
It's all too neat. Neatness offends me.
I gather that from your appearance. What about the chef?
On the chopping block. I look forward to his alibi. One thing astounds me, Marky.
What is that?
Your friend, Tom Mingus. Cutting up his wife like so much tripe.
It is a matter of class and breeding. Oh, by the way, our police surgeon has recovered. His wife tells me it was shrimp, not oyster.
Good. I'll haul him in for a kick at the cops. A second opinion is very worth it.
I've never known you pay heed to any kind of opinion. What are you up to, McLeavy?
Not a thing, sir.
Well, I have no time to stand here and gossip. There is a meeting of the golf club tonight, election of the president.
Are you going in for it?
I am indeed, but the competition is severe. Solve the crime, James. That's what you're paid for.
Indeed I am. As you say, Robert.
What?
I couldn't help but notice what Mingus cries you. Robert Roach. Sits well. Ah, these years. Now your Christian name.
Just solve the crime, McLeavy. Christian names are neither here nor there. Murder is the nub of it.
Your servant, I, Lieutenant. As you say, murder is the nub.
Pierre-Henri, I write this to you more in sorrow than anger. You have been stolen from me. The person who cared for your every need, and I cannot help but feel a sense of betrayal, to be tossed aside so lightly as a child would a toy. You regard yourself as a genius, concerned only with the demon of transcendental cuisine. I could have let that genius flower without strain, a liquid ease, a shelter, a haven where you might rest safely contained, cradled like a child in its mother's arms. I offer you my sorrow and my forgiveness. My door is always open. Do not hesitate to enter in. You will ever find me waiting and warm.
My anger I reserve for that dreadful behemoth who seduced you with her false promises, an ugly, squalid lump whose gluttony and perfidy will spawn her perfect downfall. I look forward to the day when I hear that the fate I wish for her and she so richly deserves has come to pass. And it will come, I have no doubt. My most earnest prayers and actions shall be dedicated to that end. Like a bubble of pus, she will be lanced and shrink back to a poisonous dottle. Then you will return to me, and the flame will burn again. This I promise you, a friend. Well, Jean, I think I can guess the identity of the bubble of pus. But who is the author of these delicate sentiments?
I have a name.
What a surprise.
Elizabeth Monroe.
Judge Monroe's wife?
None other than.
Very young. Very pretty. Very warm. Oh, your Pierre is a busy young man. By the way, he tells me that the night of the murder he was, how can I put it? In the loving arms of an older woman. Clutched.
That's true enough.
All night?
Till the break of day.
What were you cooking up? You must be getting desperate, Jean.
I beg your pardon?
Took him 2 years to grow that moustache. Just a boy.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Cradle snatching. I thought better of you.
Take love where you find it. I'm no stunted, like yourself.
Stunted? Strong words.
I'm a strong woman.
We weak knees. And now you protect him. A mummy's boy.
A genius. Jane Mingus and Elizabeth Monroe were at daggers drawn over him. He was offered more money than he'd seen in his life before, so he left, and the judge's wife took to her bed for a good week.
That proves nothing.
You read the letter. She seeks vengeance.
I don't see her with a kitchen knife.
Don't think women can't stab deep, McLeavy. Or she could have hired another.
Desperate. You really are desperate.
Tell me something. Do you believe you have the killer in your sight?
That's my business.
That means you don't. Pierre-Henri is innocent, and he has suffered.
How?
He's been dismissed from his position.
Good.
I brought this. It must be investigated.
Don't tell me my job.
A great hand at hammering those below. How about a judge's wife? Have you nerve enough for that, McLeavy?
You may leave the letter.
Better get back. It's the golf club annual meeting. My place will be heaving later.
Where is he now, Jean? Hiding under the bed.
I'd buy you a drink, McLeavy, but I might be tempted to throw it in your face.
This is not a good idea, sir.
A mere perusal of a mere epistle.
So, what do you think, Mrs. Monroe?
Where did you get this?
Fell into my hands in connection with a recent case of murder.
I assume that would be Jane Mingus.
Indeed, a terrible tragedy.
Some might say.
Do you recognise the handwriting?
I do. It is mine. I wrote it here. You may have it back.
It bears traces of a certain anger.
I was angry when I wrote it. Not anymore.
And Jane Mingus is dead.
I hope you're not implying a connection.
Not at all, ma'am.
The night she died, I was at the opera with my husband. We retired. I never left his side. Ask him, if you like.
Not necessary. Not at all, ma'am.
There is also a certain warmth expressed.
It is hard not to be fond of Pierre-Henri. He's like a child. A genius. But a child.
He certainly seems to have a knack.
His viands are the most delicate I have ever tasted. Like silver dew on rising steam. And his desserts are beyond the wildest dreams.
Like I say, a knack. What do you think the Jane means?
An overweight arriviste. Bloated. A mouth that never shut, never was satisfied. The poor man.
Who?
Her husband, Thomas.
worked all the hours of the day and night, and she spent his money like a drunken sailor.
So the husband wasn't a bon viveur?
Not at all.
What about yours, Mrs. Munro?
What?
Does he share your appetites?
The judge is interested in many things. I shall tell him of your visit. He will be most interested.
Uh-huh. Better get on, then. That would explain it, though.
Explain what?
If Mr. Mingus wasn't a born gourmand, why the wee chef is out of a situation this very instant.
Is he? Where is he now? You must tell me. It is important. Where is he?
All tucked up. Somewhere.
I shall inform my husband of your visit.
Constable Mulholland, where is McCleavy?
I had some words with Dr. Jarvis in the cold room and then he shot off, sir.
Shot off where?
He wouldn't say.
Judge Munro has just sent me a note.
I was wondering that, sir.
What did the pair of you think you were doing?
The inspector's idea, mostly.
Why does McCleavy persist in annoying decent citizens when this is obviously a low-class murder, pure and simple? This fellow Joseph, has he yet confessed?
Sticks to his story.
What about the chef?
Still in the sauce.
Do you know what is the very devil of it all?
I do not, Lieutenant. No.
Last night, at the golf club, for the presidency, I was defeated.
Sorry to hear that, sir.
And who beat me?
I can't imagine.
Judge Munro. And the very next morning, two of my men trail their big hobnailed boots all over his sitting room.
It doesn't look good, does it?
Where is McCleavy? I know he's out there causing untold damage, but where is he?
Bread, cheese, and pickle.
Simple fare. But it suits me fine.
And myself, Mr. Mingus. Fine, big kitchen.
My wife needed space.
She'll be taken up more shortly.
Indeed. The funeral is next Wednesday.
More pickle?
No, thank you.
I have to return to Aberdeen early hours tomorrow. Then back here, bury her then. Someday, I may move to that city.
Aberdeen, the great northern alibi.
I beg your pardon?
Any of the reasons I knocked on your door?
Hospitality, the reason I invited you in.
We both have our reasons. Dr. Jarvis agreed with me on a detail of the corpse which seemed to slip your attention.
Such as?
The bruises above the elbow. They were opposite to somebody sitting astride the body, knees pressing down before delivering the fatal blow.
I see. And so?
The murder was of a cold intent, not in the heat of the moment.
Then why the violence?
To deflect attention, lest a more skillful cut betray the identity of the killer.
You're certain about the pickle?
I am indeed. You see, we all assumed that you spent the night of the murder in Aberdeen, but I checked with the hotel there and the reception told me that you settled your bill the night before, citing an early morning departure.
I did indeed.
I also had words with the conductor of the late night train into Waverley that very evening, a quiet train, near empty. He remembers a fellow of your ilk sitting in a corner.
Many resemble me.
And I dare say if I get my men to check the wee hotels round the station, a man of your description will be found to have checked in late at night and then out again in the morning to mingle with the crowd coming from the early train and be met by Robert Roach, bearing bad tidings.
You've been very industrious. To what end?
You were in this city the night your wife was murdered. You had a good alibi, but it's not quite good enough.
This is getting to be a habit.
Leave the eye bandage.
Well, you'll have to guide me.
I will. Take hold of this.
What is it?
It is my finger.
Oh, right.
I will guide you to position. And now, release the digit.
Sorry.
Now, I light the candles. And you are there? Yes. This is as good as I can make it.
Can I look now?
I will lift the bandage. Are you ready?
Raring to go.
Voila! The confection.
It's beautiful. Like a palace.
Beauty is everything.
I am honored.
You have helped me in every way you could. The honor is mine.
Thank you.
Life is cuisine. Cuisine is life.
You seem sad, Pierre-Henri.
It is a tribute, Jean. And like all such, it reflects the past, not what is coming to be.
A man comes home, late at night, bone-weary, unexpected even. He was to arrive in the morning, but decided otherwise. Opens the door and makes a noise. He hears another noise somewhere in the house, perhaps the sound of a hurried exit. From the bedroom it came. He opens that door to find the scene of a crime. A robbery. Possessions scattered everywhere. His wife sits in bed, snoring, a lump of chocolate cake stuck on her fist. Her mouth is open. A mouth that never shuts. Her gourmandizing maw, never satisfied. It eats his money and his life. Something snaps. He looks at her, and the devil whispers in his ear, "Now's your chance. Let the thief take the blame. Let the surgeon save his own life. A perfect plan. Now's your chance."
First the deed, then, like the inspector said, find a wee hotel. In the morning, join the crowd. But he doesn't like crowds. They jostle him so. Why, he came back this night on an impulse on the quiet train. But first, the deed. Once the picture's in his mind, it seems like a dream. As if it's all a dream, and in the morning he will wake and he will be free. No more the slave to another's appetite. All he has ever earned, down the drain. So, not his own blade, but what to hand. In the kitchen there it lies, on the block, the butcher's block, the cook's knife. A wee touch of poetic justice. Back to her. Kneel, not in prayer. Lift it up, bring it down. Not too clever. Make a hash of it. Not too clever.
I'll have that pickle now.
Serve yourself. Of course, it is all surmise. You cannot prove a thing.
I'll prove it.
I'll leave you to that task. I'm away to Aberdeen in the morning. I'll be back in the middle of the week to bury her. For good.
I'll be waiting for you.
Good night, Inspector.
Good night, Mr. Mingus. By the way, what happened to the chocolate cake?
I beg your pardon?
A big lump in her hand. But when I saw her, only a crumb.
Perhaps she ate it in her sleep. Good night.
You've got a damned cheek.
I bear good tidings.
Lurking in the garden.
I knocked your door. Hannah Semple, keeper of your keys, told me it was a quiet night.
Very quiet.
He's safe. Your golden boy. I know the killer. Not him, more's the pity.
Oh, thank you.
Where is he, anyway? All tucked up?
Would you like to see something of rare beauty, McLeavy?
That depends.
In my bedroom.
I can manage that.
Well, is it not beautiful?
Amazing. A body hoose and spun sugar.
The Justland pièce multi. Genius.
Amazing.
A leaving present from Pierre-Henri.
How so?
That night, he wasn't with me all of it. He told me he searched for inspiration. A house in Heriot Row. A woman at the window, but she couldn't come down. Her husband in the room. So he went on his way to see the sunrise. Now, he has gone back to her.
Elizabeth Monroe?
None other than.
So? You're on your own again?
That's me. Possibly a blessing.
How come?
Too much rich food. Bad for the health.
McLeavy, is it not awful?
Judge Monroe, all Mulholland's ideas, sir.
No,
Thomas Mingus, did you not hear?
I'm just straight.
The 8:15 to Aberdeen was late. As it backed into the station, a press of people, he was at the front, fell under the wheels.
Dear me.
Crushed to a pulp.
Squashed flat, I'm afraid. I've just been dealing with it all.
I was too upset.
Squashed?
The head.
Dear me.
And the strangest thing, in his fist, a big lump of chocolate cake gripped.
Tom was never a sweetie hand.
It was very dry, sir.
And no doubt, very stale.
What is so funny to you, McCleavy?
It's just the way the wheels come round. In a way, I was not surprised to hear of the death of Tom Mingus. When I left him alone in that kitchen, I knew that I would have a hard job to prove his guilt. And yet I was persuaded that perhaps such effort might not be necessary. There was an anguish far behind his eyes, perhaps not even yet arrived in his conscious mind, but it was on its journey. The freedom he had bought so dearly would kill him in the end. So when he fell before the wheels, was it an accident of fate, or had he just decided to step off the edge of the known world? It is the very devil. Freedom. I'd better keep an eye on Monroe. We a wife like that, and we Pierre Henri, the judge may find it too hot to handle. Jean Brash will contemplate her house of sugar, but it will melt. She will forget, and like myself, reach for the coffee pot. And what of Jane Mingus? Not one good word for her, but she must have been a princess once, who married her fairy prince, and things went to hell from then on. Who knows what pain she tried to bury under that mountain of degustation? It would take a better mind than mine to puzzle it all out, and I have never met such. But I have bought myself a slab of chocolate cake from one of the bakeries. Low quality at a glance, but I thought, in honour of an abandoned murder case, it might be worth trying. Not bad. Not bad at all. Perhaps another piece. Bigger this time. Bite in.